personal foul. Unsportsmanlike conduct.
Astree tackled the quarterback. He's giving him business down there. That's a 15-yard penalty.
All right, Dal. We are back after a week off, and then right after this one, two more weeks off after this.
Well, Aaron absolutely earned some time off. He was helping with the Mountain State Stock Dog National Finals last week.
Now be careful where we go forward.
I'm going to be nice, but I'm just saying it's a six-day thing. It's held in the middle of July at 6,600 feet. So it's hot, and it's you're going to get sunburned. You're going to get tired, and it's 6 days of cows move or of dogs moving cows.
And my whipping arm got real tired after whipping all our camera people all day.
I'm just saying it's a bit of a grind. It's a lot of work, and so glad to have you back.
Well, thank you. Now, after I just told you to be careful with it, I will say, as a non-rancher. Having grown up, as I assume that is the general audience for stock dog participation, as a Chicago suburbanite, that was definitely what we will generously call it a unique sporting experience to have attended live.
It's actually got a lot of practicality to it.
Does have that.
Not that I'm going to go into it too much because, hey, you were there for 6 days. You learned all about it. Those dogs, the good ones, which all these are, they can take the place of like three or four people on horseback in terms of getting cows and sheep where they need to go. So the dogs are like super smart, super valuable. It's just
A niche thing.
It is, but there's so many people that were interested in watching it, which is why you were part of it.
There's a lot of people that are interested in watching, like Iron Chef as well.
I like
Iron Chef. Also very practical. Just not for me, I think, is the...
I like Chopped. But the problem with Chopped is I come away always feeling very down about myself. It's like these people take whatever... Like, literally, they have no idea what's in that basket. And in 20 minutes, they reconstruct it. It's not like they're following a recipe in 20 minutes. They're deconstructing and reconstructing food elements into something. I can barely make mac and cheese in 20 minutes.
I often make this joke, too, when I talk to people, is I taught myself, like right around college when I started living by myself, how to feed myself.
Yeah.
However, I always get baffled by people like my own mom, who can just stare blankly at a fridge for 5 seconds and go, oh, I can make this real quick, and they just throw it together. And I think, how do you know what things mix to make taste?
They've been taught.
If Google doesn't tell me if Google says 2/3 of a tablespoon of such and such seasoning, I will measure to the sand droplet of that seasoning exactly 2/3. I'm like, Google knows what they're doing. I'm not breaking free of this. I'm not going off on my own.
So yeah, food and dogs to kick off this week of unsportsmanlike conduct. Well, we've got the home run derby, which is now done, and Juan Soto, as if he wasn't going to be making enough money, he can blow this $1 million on hats or something or shoes or whatever he wants. $1 million for the winner for the Home Run Derby.
It is amazing how bad Washington is at keeping literally any of their star players.
At least they offered him $450
million.
They're
doing their best. They just can't do it.
$440 million, and he's like, I don't think so.
I genuinely don't think Juan Soto said no because he's like, you know what, that's not enough money. I legitimately at this point believe that people just don't want to play in Washington.
That could be.
That they're just like, you know what, I'd much rather go be a Angeles Dodger.
He's going to get that money no matter what.
Pretty much.
So if he can go someplace that's maybe a little more tropical, place that's a little more...
Maybe someplace ready, that's
ready
not,
to win.
I was about to say that's not mid rebuild.
Yeah, if he can accomplish both of those things while making his $500 million.
How about the fact that it's a
no brainer.
Julio Rodriguez legitimately just destroyed everyone in round one, destroyed everyone in round two, and then he gets to the finals for his 101 with Juan Soto, and suddenly he's like, you know what? I think I used up all my home runs.
He didn't do bad.
No,
he had 18.
He blew everyone out of the water in rounds one and two, and then he lost in round three, and we all went,
It happens.
Huh? Where's the 32 home runs this round? What?
Well, like you said, maybe used them up.
He used up all the Albert Pujols won in round one.
What's kind of cool about the All-Star game, this is where one of the very, very few things that baseball does better than football. They do a much better job of showcasing their stars in a manner that is pleasing to watch.
I'll say this. Football has the worst All-Star game.
They do.
Of the
it's
four
pathetic.
Major sports. But I've never been an All-Star game watcher in any sport anyway. So this is always like one of those NBA All-Star game, NHL All-Star game, which is the second worst All-Star game in sport. It's amazing that the more I like the sport, the worst I find the All-Star game to be in exact order.
What's cool about the All-Star game, it's actually taking place tonight, so unfortunately, you're going to hear this after the game's over. Mm. But if it's tied at the end of nine innings, they will have a home run derby to decide the winner, which I think is really cool.
Did you see the three names that they gave out for the American League?
Yeah, I did.
Because I kind of raised my eyebrows.
All of them, all six of them were involved in the home run derby to some degree. So,
Or they declined. But it felt like not only that, but the home run derby itself. I just sat there and I went, where are like four or five guys that should really be in this that are all just not in this? Kyle Schwarber was the one seed.
Sometimes.
What?
Well, let's be honest. We want to see Mike Trout. We want to see Bryce Harper. We want to see Shohei Ohtani.
I want to see
Aaron Judge.
And Aaron Judge just see. Or actually, you know what? Judge hits more. I want to see Ohtani and Giancarlo Stanton, and I don't care who wins. I just want to see which of them hits a ball the farthest.
And see, that's the thing. That could be like a whole other thing. It's like if you have the longest home run, you get $100,000, or you get like a new car. You get a Dodge Raptor TRX or whatever those things are.
These pitchers are throwing like 4-mile-an-hour meatballs, and I wanted to see if Stanton or Ohtani could still get a hit that breaks 120 miles an hour off the bat.
I'll bet they can.
They do not have normal person muscles.
I'll bet Ohtani can do it with his eyes shut. That guy is a freak.
Ohtani is a ridiculous athlete, and Giancarlo Stanton looks and I say this in the nicest way that it could possibly mean, despite the fact it's going to sound mean. He looks unnatural. Because he doesn't look like a person looks. He's legitimately so strong at this point that if you've ever just seen him, or he did an interview a few weeks ago in the locker room and he took his shirt off and he literally looks like a bunch of rocks glued together. I've never seen a person who I could genuinely say, I'm like, I think 0% body fat would kill you, but somehow I still believe he's 0%.
See, remember, that's what people were saying about DK Metcalf not too long ago. They like said that his body fat was like under 3% or something, and you know the nutritionists come out, that's not possible, blah 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 blah. It's like, look at him.
find it right now.
He's done it.
And you know, on another one, I think I made a similar joke. I was watching the White Sox played the Twins. They took 3 out of 4, which they desperately needed because they're chasing the Twins for that division. So they gained a little ground. They're now they're right there in striking distance at the break. So that was good for the Sox. But in game one, Sox had a 2-0 lead and the bases loaded with 2 out. Luis Robert, our ex-number one prospect who's now played 3 years, who has shown flashes of potential MVP-caliber play, and I mean like league MVP, they hung a slider over the middle. He hit the thing into the top row for a grand slam of the second deck of Twin Stadium. The ball was still rising when it hit the sign. So they gave him 452 feet. I question it, because I'm like, that ball was still going up. He might have hit that 600 feet.
So you need a mathlete there to get it done, to do some math work and figure out how far it should have gone.
And I think I then texted my dad afterwards in the same joke I just made about Ohtani and Stanton. I said, that's not normal person muscles.
It's not even normal. Yeah, it's not. Yeah, your White Sox are only 3 games back. The only 2 games, or only 1 game behind the Indian Guardians. It really is kind of a a mashup of guard and Indians. Guardians.
You saw that. I think I pointed that out when they first announced the name chain on a way earlier episode.
And the logo is pathetic.
That they didn't bother replacing the whole name on their practice field or their practice facility.
I'm just saying.
They just took out the I and the N.
Look at the logo. I just pulled it up for you. That looks like something. Hey, Jim, we need a logo by noon for the lunch meeting. Hurry up and get one done.
You ever played backyard baseball?
Well,
for the PC, the old video game.
Oh no, no.
Oh, that was a staple of the 90s.
It
children
looks like that.
That's where you know it was a bunch of major league players that were you know supposed to be 10 in the game, but then you had like. This is Pablo Escobar, and he was like a fictional Caillou-looking kid. But he's
a drug lord. Pablo Escobar is a drug lord.
He was unstoppable in that. He was a fictional character made up for the game. He was a little bald 10-year-old with a big old smile. But it was out of five, like each attribute, like strength, speed, hit, you know, all that. And he just had fives everything because I guess the game just thought it'd be funny to go, what if we just made up some super kid? Wouldn't that be neat?
I just, as a Washington fan, Washington took a lot of grief from certain people saying, why did it take you 2 years to come up with a logo and a name and all this other stuff? Well, this fall, I think Washington is going to arguably have one of the best-looking uniforms in the NFL. The Guardians have a logo that looks like an alternate to the Nintendo cover of Kid Icarus. It's stupid. It's like a cartoon G with wings on it.
Yeah.
It's stupid.
It's not great.
Anyway, get after it. That's, I mean, if
leave it to Cleveland to come up with an atrocious logo.
If that's your if that's your placeholder logo, fine. But get on it cuz it's terrible. That's like something I would do. That's really terrible. Anyway, especially with baseball, there's got to be some kind of classic look. Timeless. It's got to last a long time. That ain't it.
See, I kind of appreciate Chicago. Apart from the Cubs at least have an alternate logo that is creative of the actual bear cub crawling out of the sea. The regular old C in standard base Times New Roman font is bland. But whatever, they're the Cubs. So they get. I think the rest of Chicago has done a great job. Most of our logos are fairly unique.
I hate the Yankees,
mm-hmm.
but their alternative, the hat and bat logo,
mm-hmm.
that is top tier. That is so good.
I like the Sox logo. I at least like that the Bears logo has that Cincinnati red corner on the C. And if you go with the bear head, that one, which by the way, I don't know. You ever watch when NFL Network does the goofball stuff with all the Meet the Rookies show? And one of the staples is... We take a bunch of the rookies and we ask them to draw the team that drafted them's logo in crayons.
I haven't seen that one.
Oh, they do it every year. And it's just, you know, look at these super athletes that we all think of with shock and awe.
Yeah, not artists.
Yeah, here they are in a goofball. They can't draw. They're awful at this. Ha ha. So Velus Jones, the balls on this man, the Bears rookie wide receiver, was getting praise from Bears fans while being mocked because they forgot to tell him which logo to draw. So he went for it. He went for the, bear head. And he's etching in every little line on its forehead, all the little fur divots, like everything. He tried to get all of it in there. And he picks it up, and they go, all right, hold it up for the camera next to, here's a picture of the Bears' actual logo. And he goes, are you kidding me? And he was supposed to draw the C.
Yeah, just put a C.
That
now,
was goofy.
We have to throw this out there. If you just heard an 18-wheeler go by, it's because we have the windows open in the studio, and we're doing that on purpose because, A, I am lazy. B, it is hot, at least by Western Wyoming standards, at least warm. And we have no AC in this part of the building. And so we're letting a fan kind of move some air around. And if you don't like that, I will just point out, you are listening to historic Highway 89. On your way to Grand Teton National Park and Yellowstone. You're welcome. You just heard it.
Yes.
There it is right there.
I will accept chocolates via the mail.
People pay good money to go and look at a stupid camera. That you just heard it.
Oh, yeah.
That was commerce. Commerce on 89. In fact, yeah, you should just send us some money
Thanks.
You're welcome.
I will require it. From now on, we're putting every video that our windows are open behind a paywall, Dal.
That's right.
The internet bullied us, Dal. In the time it took us to pause for one moment, we had to stop what we were doing and close all the windows. I can't believe it.
We can open them again. In fact, I'm going to turn on the loud fan. Did you hear the beep? Again, you're welcome. That's a historic fan on US 89.
Absolutely.
People spend money to drive up on this road.
And take pictures of that fan.
Yeah. In fact, this fan is literally only like 100 yards away from the world's largest Elkhorn arch.
There you go.
Which is actually a misnomer because they're not horns, they're antlers.
Mm-hmm.
Do I need to keep explaining this?
No, but that does sound a lot lamer.
Horns are permanent, antlers are shed.
Correct.
These are shed. I had a friend who was a, let's call her a city person, and she started chewing us out for killing so many elk just to make the Elkhorn arch. We're like, no, hold on a second. These were shed. And she's like, yeah, right.
The elk we killed was purely for fun. She would get it right.
I mean, we hunt and we hunt elk every year, but I'm just saying, but you're talking like hundreds and thousands of antlers here. And it's like, yeah, she didn't believe me. It's like, well, whatever then.
I'd like to point out that people are part of nature too.
So we can shoot them?
Isn't it odd how we're the only creatures on? I'm not saying that that's, you know, the thing to do. I just find it's interesting that we are the only creature on the planet that actually feels a moral obligation to other creatures on the planet.
I don't know.
You ever seen a gorilla just like spot, I don't know, a wild dog in its habitat and it just says, you know what, I don't really like that wild dog. I'm going to go rip its spine out right now just because I'm mad at it.
You know, sometimes they're nice. So I saw a video this week of a chimp feeding an apple to a turtle.
That is wild, especially considering if you look up, like, chimp interacts with any other animal on the planet, 99% of... Here's a fun fact. We're getting really off of the sports thing here.
Yeah, we're not even close
here,
to sports now.
Whatever. It's a weird special episode stuck between two breaks, and there's honestly, like, nothing happening in sports right now anyway. Football hasn't started yet. Fantasy football drafts won't be taking place for another month. Basketball's over. Hockey's over.
Teams are reporting for NFL camps this week.
They are doing that.
Which is cool. But you're right. Yeah, it's kind of middle of nowhere. Do you mind if we talk maybe a little? Or did you have more?
Oh, sorry. Here's a weird fact. Maybe any zookeepers listening to this can confirm this for me in the comments. But I recently learned... And I'm sure I won't ask it as a question, I guess, because it surely has already been confirmed. But chimpanzees are one of the only animals on the do not tranquilize if they get out at a zoo.
Really?
They are instant kill. You just kill them.
Really?
They get out, you shoot them dead. And here's a weird one. Lion gets out? Not on that list. You can tranquilize a lion. They're like, yeah, that's fine. We'll trank him. We'll put him back. It's okay. A chimp gets out. They consider a chimpanzee getting loose in a populated area more dangerous. And because many of the tranquilizers that we have are delayed on a chimpanzee. Chimps and gorillas have
what
a mild...
What have you been watching?
But yeah, great apes have a weird pseudo-immunity to our tranquilizers. It takes a minute. So you try to trank a chimp, you got about 5 minutes of a really angry chimpanzee in a populated spot.
It's a pretty important minute.
Yeah, so they just go, you know what? It's safer to just shoot it in the head.
What if I'm not that good a shot?
Otherwise, it's going to start eating people's faces, because they are aggressive.
Well, luckily for us, we live in a very chimp-free zone, and also we lead...
The North American mountains are not there.
And also, we lead the nation in guns per capita, so...
Of course, the capita is only like 8, so...
Yeah, but I'll bet we have more guns in Wyoming than they have in a lot of states with a lot more people.
I
mean,
probably.
I mean, I've got 2, and that's like the lowest I've had for a while. I used to have like 6 or 8, and I'm like, and I'm not even considered like outdoorsy.
To be fair, if ever there was a state, maybe this one in Montana...
Yeah.
Where you're like, all right, if you desperately need one, this is, you go here, you're going to want one.
And I am currently planning on buying more.
As Yogi Bear is knocking on your back door asking for picnic baskets.
Ooh, I don't know about that. I wouldn't want to face a bear with any of the firearms I currently own. I would need something a little bigger. Unless I'm using
a full fled, like a cannon off the side of a pirate ship.
That'd be nice. I was thinking
it still might only anger the bear.
I was thinking more like a Gatling gun. Like a mini gun off the front of an Apache. I honestly, an AR-15 would do pretty well. It's not fully automatic, but, you know.
If for no other reason, then you can at least get it a lot and just make it run away.
Well, if it didn't, then kudos to it.
Yes.
And once I'm out of bullets, I'm done.
Like at that point, though, you empty an entire AR-15 into a grizzly bear and it continues to come at you. You just shake its hand.
Yeah, you're
screwed. You say, you know what? I guess you win. Nah, I get to be eaten.
You pull out your secondary gun and use it on yourself. Wow, our show is taking a dark turn today.
That's going to be that.
So I want to go into college football. There's been a little more discussion on the whole mega conferences. I also want to throw this out there. The first super conference was back in the 90s, and it was the Western Athletic Conference because Wyoming was in it. It had 16 teams, and it did not work. It was spread out too far. There was not enough television revenue. But these guys that are talking about, ooh, well, this is like the first super conference. It's like, no, it's not. We did a super conference. It just didn't work.
Dale, this is ESPN's very polite way of looking you dead in your face and saying, Wyoming doesn't matter, Dale.
Yeah, well, I don't think ESPN matters. They can kiss my butt. So, but what I'm saying
is, now when Notre Dame joins a super conference, now, then it's going to be news.
And see, that's the thing. When you're getting into this... this whole geography doesn't matter portion of these conference alignments, and I really hate it. I mean, you've got seriously. I've already badmouthed the Big Ten. You're gonna have Los Angeles to New Jersey as conference foes. So you're telling me at some point down the road, USC is gonna have to go to Rutgers to play in New Jersey in October.
Well, not just that. A part that. You know, normal people don't really think or care about. I mean, most people have been on an airplane like once. You ever taken like a 2-hour plane ride?
Yeah, they suck.
And you're like, this is
well, two's about the limit. But before you start,
can you
to
imagine
go...
getting on a 12-hour plane ride, getting off of that plane, and then going, well, let's go play a football game.
Well, as someone who, again, my team, my region is not even in the discussion, which I'm fine with. I hope that this falls right on their face. And I know that they're only talking about football money. But what about all the other sports? I mean, USC and UCLA, they have all the Olympic sports. And
I guess it would
You're not required
to sign all your sports in one
conference. It's stupid, though. This whole thing is stupid.
Notre Dame... splits its sports between three different conferences for some reason.
I guess BYU's done that. Repto, well, this year will be the last year they do it. They've been independent for football, and then the West Coast Conference for basketball, and then they'll go into the
Speaking of BYU, Notre Dame's in BYU this fall.
Nope, they changed the... I think they bought it out. They're going to play it in Vegas. Which a lot of the BYU fans, which I am not one, but I have friends who are, they're quite upset. They've been waiting 9 years, they said, to get the Irish in Provo, and it's not going to happen. And I'm like...
You know me.
Well, my first thought was, well, you're stupid because you thought they were actually going to fulfill that game. They have nothing to gain from that game. They're going to travel two time zones away in front of 66,000 rabid fans who've been waiting a decade for the game. And if they win, then, oh, you're supposed to win. They have nothing to gain from that game.
I was about to say, you know me well enough to know that I am what you would normally consider a pessimist sports fan. I do nothing but whine about every team I root for constantly. Notre Dame should win that game by 20.
and honestly, I have no idea. I mean, I think it actually would be a good, I think it would be a good game. But the fact that, like I said, the problem is they think they are owed that other game. And it's like, well, you have not been a part of this long enough because Well, here's a prime example. Wyoming plays in Provo this year, and BYU is supposed to return that game in Laramie. I can't remember what year it is. It's in the next 3 or 4 or 5 years. And I'm telling you right now, that game will never be played. It just won't, because BYU has nothing to gain from going into Laramie and potentially losing that game and dealing with that used to be a conference game, and Wyoming fans hate BYU. It's just, they have nothing to gain from it. I'm telling you right now, that game will never happen. They'll never play in Laramie again, ever. And yet, I have to go to Provo this fall. I mean, I have to. And you want to know why I have to? Because, one, I'm going to have a press pass, and BYU is a really nice press box. And two,
those Mormons sure know how to make a press box.
They do. It's like three stories tall, which you're not even allowed on two of them, because that's for like the church presidency and stuff. The last time I was there, I tried to get off on the wrong floor. They were polite about it, but they're like, no, yours is the next one. And of course, I was wearing a hard hat and a tank and a Wyoming basketball jersey, Fitness Dembo jersey. I was not being very professional, but that's the last time I was there. But the fact of the matter is it'll be a nice box. It'll be fun to, I don't know, Wyoming's, I don't know what we've got this year. I think we can be bowl eligible, but on paper, I think the odds makers have BYU winning that game like 86% chance something like that.
It is funny you mentioned the non-professional. I just had a conversation with a buddy of mine who genuinely asked me, he's like, you know, if your dream is to one day announce in the NFL, how's that even going to work? He's like, 'cause you're the most like emotionally passionate Bears fan I've ever met. He goes, you look me dead in my face and tell me that, let's say you're working for NBC.
That's easy. They just move you to the AFC.
Well, I was about to say, and the Bears are playing in the Super Bowl and you're announcing it. He goes, you look me in my face and tell me that the Bears throw an interception in the fourth quarter, and you can sit there and with a calm voice go, and it's picked off by the Bengals and being run back for a touchdown.
A winning score for the Bengals.
And you just hear glass shatter as I chuck the soundboard through a...
Yeah, I just... but just finishing off this BYU thing, yeah, Wyoming is... And I have to, because we cover high school sports. We do a high-definition multi-camera shoot for Star Valley High School, and we're in Evanston the night before, which is literally like... an hour and a half away
from Provo. It's tickling the border of Utah.
Yeah, it is. It's 3 miles from the border, and it's like an hour and a half from Provo or less. Something like, it might even only be an hour. So, and my sister lives in Riverton, Utah, so I can crash with her. And you know what I'm saying? I have no choice. I have no choice but to go to this game.
They might as well have you at gunpoint right now.
Yeah. Now, you know, if I was going to be in Cody the night before, I'd be like, oh, can't make it. That's... You know, that's a 500-mile...
Pull a Dave. Get on one of those private one-man plane.
I'm not doing that. I don't trust those things. But looking at this conference situation, the Pac-12 and the Big 12 have officially decided they're not going to partner. That came out on Monday, which doesn't surprise me. I think the Pac-12, which will be the Pac-10 soon, I think they just soon stay together. And I think that's probably their best bet. However... is that a long-term solution? Because now you have every one of these schools thinking about themselves. And it's been this way for a while now. So if the Big 12 says, okay, Utah, Colorado, Arizona, Arizona State, we'll take you guys. You got to go. You've got to. Because then I just, maybe I'm making too big a deal out of this, but there's a couple of teams, maybe three, they're going to get left out in the cold if these other schools make these big moves. And we've talked about them in the past, and you just don't want to be one of them.
Yeah, well, a part of me has always really enjoyed the Irish being independent purely because there's like this snobbishness you get to pretend to have about it. You get to stick your nose in the air when
and people... you're not even Catholic.
No. You just get to go, oh, I'm a Notre Dame fan. We are independent.
Our games are on NBC.
Yes. And you have to use that accent, too, as you taunt.
And the thing is, that's easy to do. You just keep your teeth together.
You just don't open your mouth
You
all
talk
the way.
Like Billy Zane in Titanic. We're far more luxurious than you.
But another part of me kind of really hopes that they end up joining the Big Ten. I think I've discussed this before. A, so that people will finally shut up, because I find them to be irritating on the internet. The Notre Dame should be banned from all bowl games and playoff games. And
why?
Because they can pick their own schedule.
And they do.
And first of all, we pick our own schedule.
And it's a tough
and we
schedule.
Still schedule like five like top 10 or ranked teams every year.
As I said, their schedule's pretty tough.
We had a harder schedule than Michigan did last year. By just pure winning percentage of opponents, Michigan wasn't banned.
But they are definitely the golden goose in this whole conversation. And if one of these conferences gets Notre Dame, it's going to be a big bird finger to the other ones.
It would have to be the Big Ten. I know the ACC is their basketball.
Oh, no way conference. They're going to the ACC for football. No, it's either they're either going to the Big Ten or the SEC. For football. It's one of those two.
Which is the Southeastern Conference. They play in South Bend, Indiana.
Yeah. Oklahoma and Texas are going there.
I could spit from Yorkville growing up.
Actually, Texas.
On a windy enough day and hit South Bend, Indiana. Texas, it's the center of the country.
Texas A&M is already in the SEC.
At least Texas is south. Not east, but it's south.
Compared to Nebraska.
Well, I mean... Theoretically compared to, I mean, it touches Mexico there. It's
just,
Texas.
I'm just saying it's basically another region. At least it's starting to create another. I'm just saying it's not exactly right next to Florida.
No.
And South Carolina.
I still laugh that Mizzou left the Big 12 years ago and said, we're an SEC. First of all, I laugh because you're from Columbus, Missouri.
By the way,
Southeastern Conference, really?
By the way, what happened the last time Missouri played Wyoming?
Did
Wyoming? 2019. Oh. Wyoming won. In Laramie, which again is why seems like BYU will never go back to Laramie.
So if Illinois beats Wyoming this year, like I know it was 2019. Is that close enough that I get to use that as, well, you guys lost to Wyoming, and we beat Wyoming.
Sure.
Okay, yeah, let's do it.
I mean, there's probably still there's still people on the team from that game.
There's so, not.
Yeah.
You're not going to Champaign, Illinois to watch your Wyoming opener this year?
You know, if I was a better traveler, I would maybe start to consider these types of things. And maybe in like 5 to 10 years, I will. But right now, we're going to be in Boise the night before. So, which means if I wanted to go to Champaign, I would need to fly from Boise to Champaign. And then I need to fly from Champaign back to Salt Lake or Jackson. And then I would still need a ride to get home. Are you coming to pick me up?
I'll have to think about it, Dallas.
You know what? It would be fun. And if I had someone to go with, I would consider it. But I don't. So.
Now, I did try to offer you Rockies White Sox tickets for next week.
And I...
Those are still free agent tickets, by the way.
Maybe I'll go. I have nothing else going on. And that's like the last week before I actually have to start doing stuff. Maybe I will.
Maybe you should.
And you're going to be there.
I'm going to be. Now, the complicated part will be that my wife and I are flying from Denver down to St. Louis. So unless you're staying in Denver for the next week, you will need a...
Well, yeah, I've been driving over there.
Well, yeah, but, you know, sometimes when you go as a group, there's an expectation of, right. Oh, we'll all pile into a car and go.
No, I get
that. You'll be stuck there for a week if you do that.
I really can't take a week off, so.
Yeah.
And if I can, I don't know how to use it well. I suck at taking time off. In fact, if I was good at taking time off, I'd be at the Mountain West Media Day starting tomorrow morning.
Oh, that does sound.
And I'm not. Why am I not? I have lots of little stupid reasons, but oh well.
Sometimes life just be that way.
But yeah, this conference realignment thing, yeah, it's going to boil down to, you know, if someone gets Notre Dame, what happens to Oregon and Washington? Those are kind of the prizes left in the pack, whatever. Pack insert number here. Hey, they used to be the Pac-10 for a long time. So
what? Was it the Big 12?
They're the Pac-8 for a while.
It was the Big 10, right, that was also trying to get USC?
they did get him.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. Now I see, that's another reason I would really like Notre Dame in the Big Ten. I want to play Wisconsin and USC every year as official conference. I want us beating them to literally ruin their entire season. Like, haha, no championship for you now. No conference title game.
Well, somebody put up, it's a funny video. It was in Iowa. And in some town in Iowa, they were having a hay throwing contest. Like how far you could throw these 100-pound bales. And some freaking nature farm boy heaved one like 12 feet in the air, which is ridiculous. I mean, I'm assuming you've never bucked bales. You've never hauled hay.
I've carried bales of hay for farmer friends of mine
growing up. But can you throw one 12 feet in the air?
I can sort of throw one from my hip onto the truck bed.
Exactly, which is kind of what's required.
It's about, I don't know, like an 8-inch vertical anyway, throw there.
So they were showing this thing, and then someone pointed out, USC has no idea what they're getting into. And you know what? I thought to myself, I actually really do. I would totally watch that game. I would totally watch USC in Iowa to play the Hawkeyes in like late October. I would love that.
The problem with USC is, do you know how many of their players are probably even local anyway?
Well, I'm just saying, I'll bet most, there's a lot of California kids on that team.
Probably. I bet most of their real good ones, though, are still, hey, we found this kid from Georgia. He's our star linebacker.
Here's Iowa.
This Texas kid. He's our quarterback.
I'm looking forward to like those kind of games, I guess.
Yeah.
But, we'll see what happens.
Unfortunately, though, it does add more teams to the Big Ten for me to hate.
Is that really possible, Aaron?
Well, my biggest issue as a fan of someone that has, quote unquote, had a rivalry with most of the Big Ten is everyone hypes up Ohio State and Michigan every year. Oh, it's like the must-watch game of college football. You have to watch Ohio State and Michigan.
Yeah.
And every year I think, God, I hate both these teams.
Yeah, I hate them both. And most of the time it's boring.
And now USC is going to... So now you're going to get Michigan, Ohio State, Michigan, USC, Ohio State, USC every year. And I'm just going to have to sit there and go, at least Penn State I root for against those teams. I'll compare it to this. Like, I don't like the Vikings very much. But when the Vikings play the Packers, I am absolutely capable of going, Vikings, yeah, baby, go let's Vikings. Go. Penn State is my Vikings of the Big Ten. I'm like, I don't like you only because you're in my conference. I don't hate you as a school. I just hate you as a rival. Ohio State, Michigan, USC, there's no redeeming quality there. That's just, please, all three of you, eliminate each other, please.
So let's talk NFL because they are reporting to camp. The rookies will be coming, and then I think the vets report this weekend or early next week, depending on what team they are.
So you always get that speech from your coach when you leave high school and then college about, all right, seniors, you know, every day, make sure you're coming out to practice, giving it your all, because you're going to miss this one day, and you, like, roll your eyes at him. You're like, shut up, coach. It's sweaty. Don't try to trick me into enjoying this. And then every year since I've graduated, the Bears post Inside Training Camp. It's just a mini series. It's on their YouTube page in there. And every year I watch it, and I don't know why I watch it, because all I can think is, dang it, coach was right. Like, it's so nostalgic seeing, you know, in the practice gear, and they're strapping up their helmets, and they walk out, and you just think, I miss that.
From what I've heard, though, and I am not a football player, it seems like a lot of it is based on the camaraderie and the relationships with other players. I mean, yeah, it's the activity of playing football and you love football.
There's just, it's that visual connection. You see, you know, it's Khalil Mack, and you're like, yeah, I never played with anyone like Khalil Mack, but you see him and he's like, you know, buckling up his chin strap. He's got the numberless jersey. He's walking out. He's doing his stretches before practice, and there's like that, you know, oh, man, I wish it was August 1st, and I can't believe I missed two-a-days. Those sucked, and for some reason I'm watching this, and I think I'd kill to go to a two-a-day again right now.
I'll bet you could find someone that would let you in. In fact, our local school starts mid-August. You can probably go copy them if you want.
Can I borrow a uniform? I want to beat up on your high school kids.
Go be a volunteer. Go be a volunteer. Teach them some stuff. Yeah, these guys, they have to report here soon. And thank goodness, Aaron. Oh, my gosh. I am so ready for some football. And I'm a huge college fan. I love college football, probably even more than the pros. But I've been really excited for pro football to start again. And I think, let's see, when does the preseason start? August? It's only three weeks, so. Yeah, but it starts happening like the first week of August with like the Hall of Fame.
The Hall of Fame game, which I always forget, you know, isn't just like the first game. It is a week and a half before. So I'm like, oh, good, the Hall of Fame game's here. And then I'm ready for like Saturday, Sunday to go, all right, let's see when the Bears play. Yeah. Oh, not for another week. That's right.
Yeah. But I'm excited for it. And I don't know. Call me. This is where my burgundy and gold goggles are on right now. Mm-hmm. I'm feeling pretty darn good.
You might as well.
About where Washington sits right now before the season starts.
I only am excited for this football season because I feel like the Bears are playing with house money because it's year one of a rebuild and the expectations are, you know what, if we can win a game, let's all clap for ourselves.
You say that, but the Bears fans aren't typically real excited to win less than five games.
No, and what's unfortunate is once the actual games are played, I have no ability to say what I'm saying right now. I will scream at my TV the whole time. But it does feel like the White Sox were so disappointing. Like, yeah, they're 500 at the break. That's not that bad. Like, you know, they're an okay team. It's disappointing, though, because we came into the year with World Series expectations.
Hey, you're only halfway, and you're only three games out of first.
If the Bears were to be 500 at midseason, we'd throw a parade.
Oh, you'd be excited.
Like, expectations are a huge key to this. And I think the Bears, as I said, I call it, they're playing with house money. They're like, hey, we have no expectations. It's year one of a rebuild. So I can just sit back and just enjoy it. And then when playoffs come around, I can bandwagon Joe Burrow and Josh Allen again.
So I'm kind of bored. Do you mind if we go division by division and, like, pick a July winner of each division?
Let's preview the division outlook here. I'll even put it in the notes. We'll keep track. Here's another thing we could do, Dal. How about for this podcast, and I'll even open it up once I create it. I'm going to get on Yahoo before the season starts, and I'm going to create us a pick'em league.
Okay.
And we'll compete every week and see by season's end which of us is picked and I'm going to just open it up on this show once it's created. I'll give everyone listening the password so you can jump in, compete against Dal and I, and we'll see who wins Pick'em.
Yeah.
By the end of the year. Win a free hat.
Within reason. Up to $30.
What
was that one? It was like a Pete Sampras.
It was like $8,000 like hat, yeah, someone found.
It's like, no, we're not doing that.
You and I just started sweating. We're like, we got to win.
I'm not sweating. I'm not doing that. You better go get a lawyer because I'm not doing it.
Now, I'm looking at your computer screen, and I think division number one should be an easy one.
Yeah. Let's start with the AFC East. Bills,
the Jets,
Dolphins.
Dal, do it.
Bills, Dolphins, Patriots, Jets. I'm going to say this right now. I am sick and tired of the media soft hands they have with Zach Wilson and the freaking Jets.
You have so much hate for BYU.
No, I hate, but I hate Zach Wilson too. This guy has done nothing. He's done
except date his mom's friend.
Exactly. And then supposedly people like that. They're like, oh, good for you. I'm like, he's a dirtbag. He's a friggin' dirtbag, and he's a crappy quarterback, and the Jets are going to finish dead last in the AFC East. And it's not even going to be close. The Bills are going to win it. I think the Dolphins are much improved. However, I'm still not a big believer in Tua yet.
Now, are you going left to right here as I'm typing stuff? Is that how you're going to do it?
Yeah, I'll go like this.
Okay, perfect.
And so I actually think the Patriots will be second. I think the Dolphins will contend, and the Jets are going to suck. And I think at the end of the year, they're going to go, yeah, Zach Wilson's too busy dating Cougars to... I mean, he even played for the Cougars. The jokes write themselves. Anyway, Josh Allen, Buffalo Bills, former Wyoming Cowboy, they win the AFC East. Hopefully they win the AFC and go to the Super Bowl. That's my pick there. You?
I'm going to be real easy with this one, and I'm going to say the Buffalo Bills win it by 4+ games.
Wow.
I think Miami's overrated. They made one move, and suddenly everyone's over the Dolphins. They still have Tua Tagovailoa as their quarterback, who I wasn't high on coming out of college, and he hasn't done anything to flip my opinion.
Yeah, he's been pretty average.
I don't love Mac Jones the way everyone else does. I think the Patriots are probably a sub-500 team. Now, they do have Bill Belichick, and he'll get them their 500.
Now, come on, say it. Say the last part. Because there's one more team.
Oh, and the New York Jets will be one game better than the Patriots, just so that Dal can be mad.
Oh, you're a terrible person. okay, let's go to the NFC East. This one's hard for me to pick because my team is in it. If I'm being realistic, for the purposes of picking, you know what? Screw it. I'm picking Washington. I can't. I hate these other teams. I can't pick one of them to win the conference or win the division.
I will let you know right here and now I'm not going to pick the Bears to win the NFC North.
And I understand that, but I think Washington's not that far off from Dallas or Philly. I really don't. At least with, you know, maybe depth-wise, by the end of the season, there'll be a discrepancy there, but starting the season, I'm picking Washington, and then I'm going to go with Dallas, then Philly, and then the Giants can burn in hell.
This is both fair and reasonable. Yeah, I think the Giants will come in last. I think Dallas will disappoint yet again, and all their fans will clamor that they're a 13-4 type of football team right up until, I don't know, week 3. And they'll go, oh, wait, why are we 1-2? What? Oh, my. I think the Eagles will win it, and I think the Eagles will take up until week 18, and they will clinch the division on the final week of the season. They'll take it from Dallas.
You are a terrible person. AFC North. This one's going to be interesting because I
can't pick anyone else. It's a toss-up to me between the Ravens and the Bengals because I think the Ravens, healthy, are just insanely good. But since it's a coin flip, I'm just going to go with the one I like better rather than actually flipping the coin. I'm taking Joe Burrow. Joe Scheisty. He's coming back. They fixed the offensive line.
I'm going to pick Joe, but I do think the Ravens are going to fight him tooth and nail for it. There's no way they're as injured this next season as they were last season.
No.
Cleveland's going to be a joke because they're going to be starting someone's mama as their quarterback. There's no way Deshaun Watson's playing. Baker Mayfield's in Carolina. The Steelers are intriguing just because Mike Tomlin's never had a losing record. And I don't know if they've got the quarterback to continue that streak, but I really wouldn't be that shocked if they went 500. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or even maybe a game. I don't know. But yeah, I'm going to pick the Bengals on that one too. NFC North. Sorry, this is an easy pick. The Packers are winning that.
So I'll go a little off kilter here. I think the Packers unloaded rather than reloading during the offseason. And you know who I like? This is going to answer it, but minus Mike Zimmer,
the
now
Vikings.
That he's gone, I think the Minnesota Vikings have an 11 or 12 win season in them.
They could.
They have a very talented team that has underperformed every year.
I think,
can that be blamed on the coach? We're going to find out.
I think as long as the Packers have Aaron Rodgers, they win that division.
Now they've had him before, and the Vikings have stolen it from him.
That's my two cents. But yeah,
what's Anthony Barr doing these days?
I can see what you're saying. I don't know what he's doing.
He's the one who broke Aaron Rodgers' collarbone a few years back. So he's one of my favorite players in the league.
Here's an interesting division. AFC South. Texans, Colts, Jags, Titans. Now, the Titans had the number one overall seed in the AFC last year. They got upset, but they had a really good year. Derrick Henry's back. Tannehill is back. They lose some of the receiving power with A.J. Brown.
And then get it right back with the kid from Arkansas.
Yeah, they drafted
Traylon Burks.
They drafted some guys. Who you got in that one?
I am.
Matt Ryan's with the Colts now.
Yes. You have no idea how hard I'm going to be rooting for Houston because Lovie Smith's making his his rounds. They just have no roster whatsoever. So
Davis Mills is going to be their quarterback.
I love Lovie Smith so incredibly much, but I don't love him so much that I'm willing to just eat a loss in one of these picks. So I'm going to take the Titans because they're the best team in that division.
Yeah.
But
to me, I'm going Titans, Colts.
Go Texans.
I think the Jags are actually going to finish ahead of the Texans win-loss wise.
Probably. But I can't root against Lovie.
And I like Lovie Smith. In fact, the Bears should never have gotten rid of him.
Never. That was the stupidest firing ever.
NFC South, Falcons, Panthers, Saints, Buccaneers. The Panthers have all of the discarded quarterbacks from that draft. They've got Baker Mayfield. They've got Sam Darnold. They've got who they draft this year. They drafted someone. I'm assuming Josh Rosen's on speed dial somewhere for them for some weird reason. The Falcons, of course, have Marcus Mariota, which is a downgrade to me. They're in a rebuild. Panthers have no idea what they are. The Saints, I don't know. To me, it's another easy one. Buccaneers.
I'm going to take the Buccaneers.
Tom Brady's back. The Buccaneers win that division.
But here's why I'm hesitant. The Buccaneers are going to drop two games to the Saints for some reason.
The Saints' defense is legit.
Will those two games in any way impact the overall? Basically, what I'm saying is if they didn't play each other, would the Saints be within two games of Tampa? Because if the answer is yes, the New Orleans will take the division because they're going to sweep Tampa.
I don't believe.
I don't think they are.
I don't believe in the Saints enough at the quarterback position.
Love famous Jameis?
I like Jameis, but I don't think he's done enough since being a starter again to say, oh, he can go toe-to-toe with Tom Brady now. He hasn't shown that.
Except for head-to-head. For some reason.
But that's more team. To me, that's more his team.
It's insane.
I think the Saints' defense is really good.
Well, and do you suppose it is just that their defense confuses Brady? Or do you think that, I mean, they don't have Peyton this year.
I don't think confuse him. They just.
They're just really good.
They just have a good game plan. They execute. I think Tom.
I'm curious. I think we'll find out this year how much of that New Orleans owning the Buccaneers thing was just the Saints' defense being really good, and how much is Sean Payton the type of coach like a Rex Ryan who says, this is our rival, we beat them, or we go kill ourselves in the parking lot. Those are our options. Sean Payton seems like he's got a little bit of that in him.
Yeah,
where he's like,
he does.
Okay, we have two Super Bowls before the actual Super Bowl. We will beat the Buccaneers, or I will beat each and every one of you with a tire iron when we get back into this locker room.
I don't like his chances against the players. I'm just saying that.
No. Maybe with a tire iron.
Even with one of those. Now, moving on to the AFC West, probably the most difficult pick in the league. Broncos, Chiefs, Raiders, Chargers. I'll be honest. Most of the other ones, I have like a gut instinct or there's something obvious that jumps out. This one, I don't. I have one team.
And because of that, I'm picking them. I'm going Chargers.
Really?
Their defense is much improved. And their offense is going to be great because it just is.
They nailed their offensive lineman pick last year with Rashawn Slater.
Northwestern product, by the way.
And guess who his dad is?
Jackie Slater?
Reggie Slater. Played basketball. University of Wyoming.
I see. I was really hoping it was a Rams legend, Jackie Slater.
No, it's Reggie Slater. It's even better.
Is it?
It is. To me, it is.
Is he in the NFL Hall of Fame?
He's in the Wyoming Hall of Fame.
That is just as good.
This is a tough one. Of course, Denver made the big move to get Russell Wilson. The Chiefs, they trade Tyreek Hill, but supposedly they've replaced what they think is maybe some of that production. The Raiders go get Davante Adams, which I don't think is being talked about nearly enough. And then the Chargers. Yeah, the Chargers were one series away from going to the playoffs.
People are talking about Adams with, you know, a lot of fantasy people out there are, well, you know, he's still Davante Adams, but maybe bump him down a few slots because he doesn't have Aaron Rodgers anymore. A part of me wants to do the opposite. I'm like, he's got Derek Carr, who he's best friends with. Do you know what happened the last time a wide receiver notably went to his best friend to go play? I think that was when Cutler and Marshall reunited. And Jay Cutler would not stop pelting Brandon Marshall with footballs. He's like, Marshall, you want 38 targets today? Here you go. I won't throw at anyone else. I'll throw just at you. I don't know if that's good for the Raiders, but boy, is it going to be good for Devon. If you play in a PPR league, point per catch, you're probably going to want Adams this year, because I bet Derek Carr just assaults him with footballs.
Well, and the Madden ratings came out this week, and Devontae Adams is the top receiver, and he is a 99, for whatever that's worth to you.
Yeah.
So the Madden people, the Madden people sure like him. I'm going to go with the Chiefs just because I think it's theirs till someone takes it. But that division is going to be must-watch TV every week. Those matchups are going to be a lot of fun. Going in the NFC West, got the Super Bowl champs, the Rams. You got Kyler Murray and his petulant self and the Cardinals. The Niners, they're kind of a... I mean, remember back when Jimmy Garoppolo, people were like, oh, well, he's going to be gone as soon as the season's over. He's still on their team.
Yeah, he's going to start.
And then you got the Seahawks, who have Drew Locke and... Drew Locke.
I still find this 49ers team hilarious, because I so historically hate the 49ers as a franchise. And this Kyle Shanahan, George Kittle version, I can't hate. I like them too much. I'm like, there's something about George Kittle and the way that they run that offense with essentially one player.
Yeah.
They're like, we have one star and a bunch of gadgets, and we run an efficient offense with it, because Kyle Shanahan knows what he's doing.
They have Debo Samuel. He's a stud. But I don't know how you can go against the Rams.
No, I picked the Rams.
Especially now they brought back Aaron Donald. I mean, the guy's a one-man wrecking crew. All right, so there we have it. Looks like we agreed on quite a few. That's what's fun about football. We're sure to be wrong on a lot of these things. And
I still remember...
It'll be fun.
I'm still bitter about this, too. I made a preseason prediction back in, like, 2019. And I think I had the Titans winning the NFC South. And everyone was giving me crap in the preseason where I posted this. All my comments were, the Titans! I don't remember why. I think maybe Houston... was still, you know, everyone was, you can't pick against Watson and Houston. They won it last year. And I'm like, you know what? Now, just because you're all irritating me, the Titans are my favorite team in the AFC for 1 year. Just so that you... And the funny part is, the Titans did not win the NFC South. But they did go to the AFC Championship game.
Yeah.
And people still didn't want to give... I'm like... All of you told me the Titans were going to win like four games, and I had them winning the division.
Well,
and you're like, you got lucky because they had a fluke run. And you,
I think everybody underestimated what Mike Vrabel's done as coach, and I think everybody was not. I mean, let's be honest. Who knew that Ryan Tannehill was going to change teams and then get even better?
And can I say the inability for people to just give out credit, even if it's joke credit, to just go, all right, fine, you got me, irritates me sometimes, Dale, because last year my Titans was the Bengals, who after they, what was it? Oh, I think the Bengals got to like 3-1, something like that.
Logan Wilson.
And I said in my group chat of Bears fans, I went, you know what, I think the Bengals are actually pretty decent this year. I think Joe Burrow has helped them really turn this team around.
Oh.
And they all... They're not a real 3-1 team. They're such a joke. The very next week, they just pelted the Baltimore Ravens. Gave them a smackdown. I tried to brag again. I'm like, is this the team that you're still telling me I was wrong? Yeah, no, the Ravens just played bad defense.
Well, look at some of the superstars they added. Obviously, Ja'Marr Chase.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about Joe Burrow. Hey, and my guy Logan Wilson, at middle linebacker.
So the Bengals go to the Super Bowl. They win the AFC Championship.
They almost won the Super Bowl.
They win the AFC Championship game. I go back again, and I just took a screenshot of that one dude's comment, and then everyone who was all, oh, and I posted again, thinking everyone was going to go, okay, that's a little funny. We all did. And still, they all, oh, come on. They've played like crap all three of these playoff games. Their opponents just played down to their level. They got three fluke wins in a row. The other teams just kept choking. But I went, oh, what? Oh, that table's a little ricketier than I thought it was.
You're just a big, strong man.
I'm like, are you kidding me? Week 4, I said the Bengals of all teams were a surprisingly good team. You can't, and now they're in the Super Bowl and no one can give me this.
And they almost won.
I don't care if you think it's 3 fluke wins. I don't care. In fact, like, oh my God, this will never happen again. Give this to me.
In fact, maybe if not for the phantom PI on Wilson, they win that game. Who knows?
Ugh.
Well, we're out of time.
Yep.
It was a weird one.
It is a strange one, and unfortunately, we will have to miss all of you for the next couple of weeks.
But that'll be cool, because then by then, we'll have preseason stuff going on, and
oh, yeah.
We'll have lots to talk about.
So you can catch us at that point. On Wednesdays on Spotify, YouTube, svinews.com/podcasts. I used to mention that we were on Podbean, but no one goes to Podbean. They just find us on svinews.com.
I don't think anybody cares.
Yeah.
But we're on there.
That's the one that you'll find on SVI News, but that's where you're going to find it is SVI. You're not going to go to Podbean. I know you're not. I won't lie to you.
You're not going to do it.
See y'all next time.